Today's shir is Masechta Avakama Daf Nun Ches. We will begin on Daf Nun Zayin on the Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah, Naflu Gin of Ananis, if the animal fell into a garden and ate and enjoyed and benefited from eating, Mishalem Isma Shananis, the halacha is that you have to pay, the mazik has to pay for the value of what was eaten. The animal's owner has to pay for the animal of what was eaten, but not for the damage. Amar Rav, what the Mishnah spoke about is Behachavoto, where she got banged up by falling. And by falling and hurting itself, she fell on the vegetables, and that cushioned the fall. And because that cushioned the fall, that's why she didn't hurt herself, and for that she pays. Avol, says the Gemara, what we learn from here is, Ochlo, had she eaten from where she fell, afilo mishahananas and mishalemas, then she wouldn't have to pay for that food. Lema, says the Gemara, presumably what is the reason for that leniency? So suggests the Gemara, Rav lo tamei, Rav is following his opinion, Dama Rav, shayaloi shloi toichal, that if somebody brings his fruit, we discussed this extensively earlier in our Masechta, if somebody brings his fruit into somebody else's property and the owner of that property's animal eats that fruit and it causes that animal to get sick, Rav said that the person who brought the food in shall not be held responsible, because he could always make a claim, the animal shouldn't have eaten it and it wouldn't have gotten sick. So here too, the Gemara is saying that she didn't have to eat the fruit, and therefore she should not have to pay for what it ate. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. Amri, hachi hashta. Eimadam Rav Hossam, shayu lo shloi toichel. Where the Rav introduced this concept, who told the animal to eat this food? Hecha de itzkehi. When the animal ate the food, which she shouldn't have eaten, and got sick. And there, the matzah amalei, Mar de Peri, the owner of the food could say to him, Loi Mishalma, I'm not paying for the food. The animal shouldn't have eaten it. Here, what happened was the animal came and ate somebody else's food. Lazuki Achrina, she caused damage to the food that was she ate up. The Turi Lishlume, to say that she should be off the hook from paying me, Omar, where do we find that Rav applies the concept even that far to say, we should have said that she shouldn't have eaten. The Ktsois says that even though by all of us in the Zikin, we know, as we said from the beginning of the Masechta, you pay mimetav. He says, when the halacha is mishalemes mashanenes, and as we're learning and we'll continue learning, the concept of mishalemes mashanenes is only applied under certain circumstances, says the Ktsois, the obligation to pay mishalemes mashanenes is not based, says the Ktsois, on the din of mazik. It's based on the din of bal choiv. If I or my animal benefit from you, I have to pay back for what I benefited. But if that's the case, that the obligation emanates from me being obligated to pay you for what I ate, then the halacha is that I'm a bal choiv. And the halacha is that a bal choiv does not pay me meitav. A bal choiv only pays with beinonis. So therefore, even though in many of the cases that we've discussed in our Masechta, the halacha is that it's since we're primarily speaking about Mazikim pay for Meitav, here the obligation emanates from obligation to pay because of a Bal Choyv, and in that circumstances, you only pay from the Ziburius. Says the Gemara, Ella, Loi Mibayu Kama. The way to understand Rav is as follows. Loi Mibayu, Dachla, certainly in a situation where the animal ate, Ochla, the Mishalem Smashananis. Certainly, the person would have to pay for that, the owner of the animal would have to pay for that benefit. Ava nechpata, but with the animal benefit was because it didn't get hurt, because the food that's on the field of this person cushioned the fall. This is a whole new concept. Rashi says that I'm obligated to prevent you from suffering a loss. And therefore, by my food being here and preventing your animal from getting hurt when it fell on it, I'm in the category of Mavriach Harim and Chosav, and because I'm obligated to do whatever I can to protect your animal from getting hurt. And therefore, in that case, Mashahenis Loi Mishalim, and therefore, whatever benefit was accrued, I should not have to pay for. Kamashmon, that's the chiddush here that we do, that you do have to pay for that benefit. But ask the Gemara, Ema Chanami, maybe indeed I shouldn't have to pay because it's just a situation of Amriach Ari. Answers the Gemara, when do we apply the concept of Mavriach Ari Menechsim Chaveroi, that if I'm helping you from incurring a loss, it's Mavriach Ari, that's from a Datahu, where I knowingly did something to prevent you from suffering a loss. Hi, Lab Medatoi. When the animal came in and fell, it wasn't that I asked the animal to come in or I put out my food to protect the animal from getting hurt. Inami, Mavriach, Arim Menechse Chaveroi, when do I have an obligation to do whatever I can to prevent you from suffering a loss? When Leslie Hype said, when I don't suffer by doing this mitzvah of saving your animal. Hi, in this case, my food is getting ruined by the animal falling on it. Islay Pseida, so I'm suffering a loss. When I'm suffering a loss, I'm not obligated to take the Dura Alocha Mavriach Ari. So Rashi explains that Mavriach Ari, when is a person considered a Mavriach Ari? And as we just learned the Gemara, because I did it knowingly, and I wanted to do a mitzvah of saving you from a loss. And therefore, since I wanted to do a mitzvah and save you from a loss, including in doing the mitzvah is not getting paid for doing the mitzvah. A person is prepared to do a mitzvah without getting paid back anyway. So the Gemara differentiated when I knew what I'm doing, when I knowingly did something to save somebody from taking a loss, versus where I didn't do it knowingly. It happened when my food saved you, but I'm not obligated, but it's not considered a mitzvah the way I understand it. It's not considered a mitzvah only if I know I'm doing a mitzvah. So when I know I'm doing a mitzvah, so that's when I deserve credit for doing the mitzvah. But if I didn't know that I'm doing a mitzvah, nobody could suggest that that's considered a mitzvah. The Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia on Daf Tzad Gimel, which is the primary sugya of Mavriach Ari, speaks somebody that if somebody was taking care of somebody else's animals, his sheep, and he hears a lion, he has to find people to help him chase away the lion. The Gemara there, however, differentiates if the person who's watching these sheep is a Shai Mechinam or a Shai Mechasachar. A Shai Mechinam, says the Gemara, since he's not getting paid for taking care of his animals, the people he calls to help him also he only is obligated to find people that will do it for free. A Shai Mechasachar, who's getting paid to take care of the sheep, has to even find people that will be agreeable to help for pay. But then, says the Gemara, he could collect from the owner of the animals what he laid out. So the question is, what will be the din by B'Shai Mechinim? Well, he didn't have to find anybody that will do it for free. And he found only people that were willing to get paid. Does he have a right to take back the money? Does he have a right to ask from the owner of the animal to pay for this? So it seems that the Rishonim debate this question, And the Rishonim say where it's legitimate to assume, where I know that the owner of these animals would obviously want that money should be spent to save his animals. So then the halacha is that I have to, that I could take money from him. But if I don't have that expectation, then perhaps I would not have the right to collect from the owner money that he didn't pay, that he didn't lay out, or he didn't indicate that he's ready to pay. The Sefer Sich Sarfei Kodesh says that the Gemara often says the concept, the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Chesom and Aleph, Mitzvah Slav Lehenes Netnu. And Rashi explains, Lisra Lius Kiyum Lehem Lano. The mitzvahs weren't given that we should enjoy them. El Oil Al Tzavariyam Netnu. They were given to us as an obligation. So the question is that what, after somebody does a mitzvah, he has this obligation off his shoulder. So once he has the obligation off the shoulder, lifted from his shoulders, isn't that considered a hana? So he says, based on what we learned in our Gemara, Ne'echarim Nisachaveroi Peturim L'shalom. So we see that even though I did a mitzvah, I have no right to expect payment for doing the mitzvah. That's what mitzvah slav lehenes netnu mean. That's how the Sefer Sich Sarfei Kodesh explains. The Sfas-Emes has a different approach. The Sfas-Emes' approach is that, yes, once I do the mitzvah, and I no longer have this obligation to do the mitzvah, it's certainly a burden lifted from my shoulder. But we know, he says, that it says in Pirkei Avos, mitzvah gereris mitzvah. What does mitzvah gereris mitzvah mean? Mitzvah gereris mitzvah means that the mitzvah that I perform is going to cause that I should have to do another mitzvah. And that mitzvah will come with its own level of obligation and responsibility. So it's not that when I finish a mitzvah, my obligations end. It just remains a continuous life of obligation to do mitzvah, and that's why it's not considered a hanor. So the Gemara speaks about the case where the animal fell by accident into somebody else's field, and therefore he only has to pay for the benefit. So ask my hechinofel exactly what happened here. Rav Kahana Oma Shehuchl B'meimi Regler, the animal urinated and it slept on its urine into the other person's field. That means he was walking in the Rishus HaRabim, the animal was walking in Rishus HaRabim, urinated and slipped on that urine into the person's property that's right next to it. Rava Amma Shadach Sechaveritai, one animal pushed the other animal. Says the Gemara, Man Amma Shadach Sechaveritai, if in a situation where the animal was pushed into somebody else's property, it's considered an oinus, and that's why he only pays mashenenis. Koshkein shenichnas b'meimi regleah. It's much more unlikely that the animal will slip on its urine. It's more likely that's going to be pushed. So if in a case where it's pushed, it's considered an oinus, certainly when it's slipped, it's an oinus. However, man dam shuklik b'meimi regleah, that the situation is that it slipped, av odachos chaverta, there the owner of the animal does not have a legitimate excuse. Domalei, because the person who owns the field could say, you should have made sure that there was a proper distance between the animals. And if there was a proper distance between the animals, one animal wouldn't have been close enough to push the other animal into my property. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Kahana, Lo Yishana El Bo Yisaruga. When we speak about it was pushed, it fell, it slipped, and he ate, it's only the row it fell on. Ava maruga maruga. If it went from one row to another row, mishalemes mashazika, then she's going to have to pay for all the damage. And as the Rosh explains, the expectation is that the owner of the animal should have gotten his animal out of there right away. And if he tarried in not getting it out his animal right away, and therefore the animal went to other rows, he shall be held responsible. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afilu maruga maruga. Even if the animal went from one row to another row, afilu kol hayom kula, and even that was taking place all day, achateitz v'da'as, sir. As long as the animal has not left the, as long as the animal is in the field where it fell immediately, the owner is not responsible. Amar Papa, loy tema doesn't mean achateitzel ladas, that the owners know that it left, the tax ladas, and then the owners know that it went back. Elakivin shiyotz ladas, once the animal exited the property, once the animal exited the property, then apri shechazur shloy ladas, even though the owners don't know that it re-entered, the owners become responsible. My tama, because why at that point does he become responsible? Because the owner of the field could say to the owner of the animal, Domale, kivin the yalfa, this animal has become familiar with this field. And since this animal has become familiar with this field, it became a custom to always run to this field. And therefore, since they always run to this field, the halacha is that he will be held responsible. The Shas of Tshuvas, Evan Yisrael, discusses a situation where the people live in a neighborhood which is close to a neighborhood where people in that neighborhood are thieves. And because they live so close to a neighborhood of people with thieves, they hired a security company to watch their neighborhood. Now, that neighborhood that is on the border of this neighborhood is a large neighborhood. So there are homes that are close to that dangerous neighborhood, and they're close to the not so close. So the question is, can the people who are close to the neighborhood force the people that are further away to participate in paying for the security firm? So he says that the people who are living closer to this dangerous neighborhood and have this firm who's helping them, and the other neighborhood is benefiting, but it's not a direct benefit. And what is that considered? Therefore, that's considered a situation of Mavriya Chari. And we've just finished learning, he says, that Mavriya Chari, you can't demand payment. We learned in the Mishnah, Yard the Kedaka, but if an animal just walked into somebody else's property and did damage, Mishalamas Mishazika, then the halacha is that it has to pay for the damage. Before we go further, we just learned that since this animal that slipped into this field became accustomed to fall into that field, the halacha is that he's held responsible, even if he doesn't know that his animal ran in there, since that's something that he should be thinking about, he's potter. We've been learning in our Masechta that as far as Shein and Regel are concerned, a Shmir Pechusa is adequate. Moreover, we've learned that Shein V'Regel B'Rishus HaRabim is potter altogether, because Shein V'Regel is B'Rishus HaRabim is to be expected. So now the question is that if the animal walked out and is not in the field anymore, we have now, the Gemara has indicated, a higher level of Shmira required, because the Gemara just taught us, since the animal is accustomed to walk into that field, if it walks in, even if the owner wasn't aware, he shall be held responsible. So Rashi explains that even though normally for Shein V'Regel, Shmira Pechus is adequate, when you have the situation that we are now describing, the halacha says that Shmira Pechusa is not adequate. The Rashba, quoting the Ravid, says the next time the animal falls into the garden, he says even a bigger chiddush, not only in a case where the animal fell into the garden and ate, as we're learning, and then walked out and walks back in, will the owner be chayiv? But let's say the animal will fall into that garden another time. Even if the animal falls into that garden another time, now it's the second time. And the second time you don't have the leniency of Masha Nenis. The second time you'll pay Masha Hizika. The Ravid explains that even if you were to lock this animal into a barn and put a good lock on the barn, says the Ravid, when the animal runs, if the animal somehow was able to escape the barn, suggests the Ravid, the owner will be right away responsible to make sure that it didn't run to the field, which it became accustomed to run to. And if the owner doesn't do so, it's considered a pshia, and he'd be held responsible. So again, but we learned in the Mishnah, if the animal ran into the field, went into the field, just walked in, b'shalam smash azika. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, yard the kedaka, if the animal walked in a normal fashion, b'vizika b'mei leida, it started to have childbirth, and the liquid liquid emanated from her body. Mau. I leave the mandamer, a coin to mandamer that holds whenever you have a situation of tchilos with pshiva soifa ba'oinis chayiv like the baylach, because it going into this field was certainly a situation of pshia. Ki to baylach, I leave mandamer tchilos with pshiva soifa ba'oinis potter. My, me, I mean, as we just described the situation, the kivan there was tchilos with pshia, but soifa ba'oinis potter. I duma hacha. This will be considered a situation of kula b'pshia. Why? The kivin the chachazi the krevel el melet. Since the owner was aware that this animal is about to give birth, ibayla natura. He should have been watching this animal lematur begavo because he knows that this is about to happen, and therefore, if it happens, he can't claim that it was an oinus. So, what is the halacha? Teiku. The Gemara leaves it open. We learned from the Mishnah, Ketz Mishalemes Mashazika, how do you pay for the damage? If it ate a row in the field, we see how much is a base saw of this field worth, and how much would it be worth with this row and without the row. In other words, that you don't just assess the value of the row, but you assess the entire base saw that has a number of rows, and how much does the value of such a field go down because of this missing row? Ask the Gemara anonymously, where do we notice that this is the way to do the assessment? Says the Gemara, Amar Amasa Dama Kra, the Torah speaks about the Hezek of Shein, and the Torah describes it, Ubiya B'stei Acher, Lamed Shashaman Al-Gav Stei Acher. We evaluate on basis of the entire field. And therefore, since we evaluate based on the entire field, the halacha is that you look at the entire field, not just the row itself. So there's a fascinating chazanish. The chazanish discusses what would be the halacha if somebody broke the window of somebody else's home. If somebody breaks the window of somebody else's home, the Chofetz Chaim, I'm sorry, says, if you're selling your home and you have one broken window, the value of your home doesn't go up or down because of that one broken window in your home. And because the value of your home that doesn't go up or down because of that broken window, says the Chofetz Chaim, that if somebody broke the window, he would not be held responsible. A fascinating chiddush. The Chazanish disagrees. He says, when we speak about a field that had a row, as we're learning here, eaten up by an animal, there's nothing you could do to fix that row. And since there's nothing to fix, since there's nothing you could do to fix that row, so that's the way you do the evaluation, and looking at the entire field, as we just learned, not looking at that row itself. However, says the Chazanish, when somebody has a broken window in his home, it's something that he intends to fix and can fix. Something that can be fixed and is fixable, of course, the damage is evaluated by how much will it cost to fix it. The Torah Tamimah says, we said that we learned from the Pasuk, or be able to stay acher, that the way we do the evaluation is based on the value of the entire field, because he says the Torah should have written, b'stei ra'ehu, as is usually the wording that we have by all of the halachas of Mazikin. Why over here did the Torah choose to use the word Be'er B'stei Acher? To teach us that you evaluate the row as part of the of an entire field. But ask the Gemara, how you B'stei Acher Mi'boilei Lefuki Rishus Rabbim? To teach us that there is no Chiyah for Shein in Rishus Rabbim. Answers the Gemara, Imkain, if that's what the Pasuk is coming to teach us, Lichtav Rechmano B'er B'stei Chaveroi, Inami U'B'er Stei Acher, Mai B'stei Acher. Why did the Torah use the words "b'stei acher" to teach us "sheshamer agav stei acher"? We evaluated as part of the field. Ask the Gemara, "Veimel kula hachidasa." So maybe that's all that this pasuk is coming to teach us: that the assessment is done as part of the field. Lefuki b'rishus rabbim minolon. Where will we know that there is no shein in rishus rabbim? Answers the Gemara, "Im kain lichtev rechmana." If all the pasuk is coming to teach us how to do the assessment, then the pasuk that teaches us this halacha should have been written gavet tashlumim. When the pasuk speaks later in the pasuk, mate of sadeu, mate of karma yishalim, that's what the Torah says, how you pay. So the Torah should have said, with that, mate of sadeu, mate of karma yishalim, stay acher. Lama de kasra rachmana, why did the Torah choose to write the words of stay acher together with the actual hezek, gabi ubir, shmami not to teach us both halachas. Tarti, that the halacha is that there's no shein b'rishus rabbim, and also to teach us that there is, that you evaluate, you assess the row as part of a field. So ask the Gemara exactly, hecha shaminin, how is this assessment done? Om Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, saw b'shishim saw. We look at this field of a base saw, it's not a very large field. But the way we look at it, when you're looking at a field that is 60 saw big, and a saw in a field that's 60 saw large is not so significant. Rabbi Yane Amar, Tarkiv B'Shishim Tarkivim. He has half the shear. A Tarkiv is a Chatzi saw. And Chizki Amar, Kalach B'Shishim Kalachim. We look at one stalk amongst 60 stalks, which of course will make the damage much more significant. The Sefer Evan Ozel says, where do we know that we use this number of 60? So he says that since the Torah did teach us, as we just said, Obiyah B'stei Acher, but the Torah, so the Torah is clear, as we've been learning, that we make the assessment amongst other fields, amongst the whole field, but the Torah didn't give us a number of how to look at this field. Since the Torah didn't give us a number how to look at this field, so the standard number throughout Halacha, when there is no other number officially stated, is always going to be 60. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, Ochle kav kavayim, if the animal ate a kav or kavayim of produce, en omrim tishalim kameim, we don't say, well, let's see what a kav or kameim cost. El roine sekila ruga katana, we look at it as a small row, or masharon esoy, and that's how we make that evaluation. And the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says a very big chiddush. We don't, if the animal ate from different parts of the field, we don't look at each part separately. We combine it, how much is the amount of area that was eaten by the animal. My laugh, doesn't the Gemara mean to, the Braisa mean to say, b'fnei atzma, not as part of a field of 60 saw? Says no loy. The Braisa means to, it's part of shishim. Tana bottom, kav b'mnei meshbichai, we don't look at it at a kav alone, because that will cause the nizik to gain. V'loy beis kor, now we don't look at it as such a large field of beis kor, nei shukupaymai. So ask them on my comment, what exactly did the Braisa mean to say? Amar papa hakama, ain't shav kav b'shishim kavim. We don't look at one as if it ate just one kav among 60 kavim, nei shemashbiach hamazik. One kav among 60 kavim is very insignificant, and that will therefore work to the benefit of the mazik. Loik kar b'shishim kairim, mnei shepaigim mazik. That will be terribly working against the mazik. Ask the Gemara, maskler of Hanavah Mahuna, v'loy bais kor, so that's what it meant. The Braisa should say, v'loy kor mibayle. The Braisa should have said, ein sham kav. Why does it say, v'loy bais kor? El amar of Huna, v'amanak, v'shmeder of Acha. El amar of Nuach. In other words, the Gemara's question is that why did the Braisa change the wording from kav to bais kor? Elamar of Huna by Benoich Meshmeir of Achbarei Ravika Haktani. Ain't Shem Kav of Neatmoi Neshemesh Biach Anizik. It's too beneficial to the Nizik. V'loy Kav Shal Beis Kor Shneish Paygim as Anizik. We don't look at it as a Kor, a Kav in a field of a Beis Kor, because a Kav in a field of a Beis Kor is meaningless. Ella, the Shear is always going to be Shishim. Says the Gemara, Ha'u Gavra. The cuts, kasba de michavrei. Somebody cut down somebody else's palm tree. Also, kamed ravish galusa. So the nizik came to the resh galusa. Amle ledi chazalei. I saw this palm tree. V'tulsa b'kina v'kaima. It had three trees together that were worth mei zuz. All three together were worth 100 zuz. Zil havle. So if that's the case, that this person damaged one tree, so he has to pay a third. Tlosan, tlosan, tulsa. He should pay 33 and a third. Amar, so the mazik said, Gabiresh Galoshin, the Darn Dina, the Hasol Amali. What's the purpose of going to Resh Galusa, the Paskins like the Parsim, the Paskins like the Persian, that doesn't Paskin like the Torah tells us to Pasa. So also Kamedir Nachman, and they came to ask the question to Rav Nachman. Amalei, so Rav Nachman said that the way to evaluate, very much in line with what we've been discussing in our shiurim, is b'shishim, one tree amongst 60 trees. Amalei Rava, im amri b'niskim emaynai, where do we say this number, that we look this ratio of 1/60th, when his animal did damage? But he asked, yoymer gufai, when the person himself did the damage, does that halach apply? Amalei Abayla Rava. Beniske Gufa, that when somebody himself did the damage, that you're not prepared to give this leniency, my datach, where do you learn this from? She says, the Tanya, the Braisa says, Hamafkir Kamer Shel Chaveray, Smodar. If somebody destroys somebody else's vineyard when the grapes are still unripe, Roinai Soi, we evaluate how much was it worth before the damage? And how much they're worth now? In other words, we determine the actual damage. But there's no mention of the 60 ratio. So it seems that when a person himself does the damage, this halach of 60 doesn't apply. But he asked, if that's the case, I'll show you a similar braisa that speaks about a case where somebody's animal did damage. The Tanya, katma natiya, if an animal cut down a young tree, the people who would make gzeris in Yerushalayim, oimrim natiya bashnasa, the value of a tree that's a year old, shtei kesef, bashtei shanim, the value of a tree are arba kesef, that four kesef. Some rishonim say that this is intended to be the minimum, but if they're more expensive, they could be more expensive. Ochel chaziz, that you ate grass that hasn't really grown. Rabbi Yosef Glila, nidim mishur shaba. We look at what the potential, how much grass could have been grown, and that's how much you have to pay. We have to look at how much it was worth before it was damaged, and how much this field is worth now, minus the grass. If it ate and the grapes that we spoke about earlier, that are unripened grape, we look at them as if they were ripened grapes. How much was it worth with the grapes? The kami yafa without the grapes. Shimon Yudai Mishim of Shimon the Medvar Mamurim. When is the halacha that we look at how much this property was devalued? Bezman shachlu luli gafan of yichurei tenenim when ate a cluster of grapes or ate dates. Aval achla pagim oy baiser. If when he ate the grapes or the dates, they're so small. We look at them how much they would, as if they were fully ripened grapes. But what is the question? How much was this property worth before, and how much the property is worth now? But when we've been speaking about animals doing damage to field, we've always spoken about the shishim. And where's the shishim that's being mentioned in this brisa? Elamai istlchemema, what must we say? That even though the brisa doesn't speak about shishim, it's self-understood that it means that the shishim is part of the calculation. Hachinami, so we could say the same thing that the halacha should be, even when a person did damage, even though there's no brisa that will... The mentions that we look at the 60 ratio, the halacha is that we look at that ratio. So the Divrei Moshe asks a question: How do we look? The Gemara says we look at it as if the grapes would have ripened, and if they would have been ripened, if this animal, this person, doesn't make a difference, ate these grapes, ruined these grapes. We don't look at their value now when they're small and not very valuable. We look at them how much they would have potentially been worth had they let them come to full ripening. So Frek Ramosha asked Ramosha that there's always a possibility that something's going to happen to the grapes. So since there's always a possibility there's something that's going to happen to the grapes, so why isn't that taken into consideration? Particularly as we often quote, that the halacha is hamotz mechaveru olav raya. You're saying I have to pay as if the grapes were ripened. Why can't I say to you, prove that these grapes would have come to ripening? So Ramosha says a chiddush. Ramosha says, the nizik says, you certainly caused me damage. The mazik says, well, you don't know for sure. Since the nizik is a vadai, and the mazik is a safik, so the halacha is that this is not a case of hamotz mechaveru olav raya. The Sefer Imrei Tzi quotes a Rashba. He says that even though normally by any suffik, particularly a suffik the mamayna, a suffik when it's a financial situation, based on the principle of hamotz mechaveru olav raya, we always go lekula. But he quotes a Rashba that says that's in a case of Suffolk Memoina. But when we speak about a case of Suffolk Mazikin, which is the case that we're actually speaking about, there he says the halacha is, we always go l'chumra. And therefore the Nizik says, I could say that this grape, that these unripened grapes would have been ripened. You're claiming that's not what necessarily would have happened. When it's a Suffolk, we go to the benefit of the Nizik. Which is a chiddush, because in our Gemara we've also seen that we don't look strictly at the benefit of the nizik, we do look at the mazik's perspective as well.